Well, good morning. I am so glad that you're here with us this morning. Welcome to any friends and family we have online today, and I'm glad that you're in the theater with us. I became a new creation. That's what this month has been about as we've been talking about, oh baby. I became a new creation a while back, and so I brought with you this prayer journal, the first one I ever owned. And it has written in here on a little card the actual day that I asked Jesus to be the boss of my life. And it was July the 14th. This was back in the 1900s. 1983. July 14th, 1983. And exactly at 9:55 p.m., and that was a Thursday. That's the moment that I surrendered my life to Jesus and asked him to be my boss. Soon after that is when I began using this notebook, which was to help me grow in my understanding of this new life. And so once you become a new creation, is that not somehow how it kind of goes? You get out there and you learn more and you do better, right? And that was part of this process of me learning more and doing better. So you get out into the world and you begin living better. You get out into the world and you begin to be different, that new creation. And all of that, I am somewhat, as most, more than anything else in my life, I'm more responsible for that. I am more responsible for me to get out there and learn more and live better. But then I discovered very quickly, then I fail. Like that time I was driving home from school in high school, and I decided to race my newly bored out engine, and I was racing my friend home from school, and obviously breaking the speed limit and driving unsafely. And I did happen to, in the course of that, hit a mailbox and a car. And so I failed, right? I was not living better. And so obviously, and it's probably listed in here, I ask forgiveness for that. In fact, there's a lot of sins listed in here. Please don't open it. I asked forgiveness for that, but I did not. And I went ahead and failed again because I lied to my parents about how it all happened. Right? I asked private forgiveness between me and God. I did not involve my parents in that. So you ask forgiveness, and then what happens? You know, you go about trying to do better. So I've got to, evidently, I just proved myself, I've got to learn more so I can live better. But I keep failing, like that time in high school that I snuck off for the weekend, right? Parents didn't know about it. Of course, they probably know now, they're in heaven, but now they don't care, right? So I for that moment too, I asked forgiveness, once again privately. I didn't involve my parents in that, but I knew I had to do better. So how do I do better? I knew I had to learn more and do better, live better. So my life has been a series of learn more, live better, fail, get forgiveness, learn more, live better, fail, get forgiveness, and repeat. And then I have to ask myself, is that it? Is that all there is? In fact, as I look at this, am I doing this right? You too, perhaps? Have you been in that cycle of learn more, live better? Because after all, that's our job. As best I can tell, that's our responsibility for the rest of our lives, this side of heaven. That's our job, isn't it? We go from a new creation, which is right now, at the moment you surrender your life. For me, that was in 1983. The moment you surrender your life, you go right from that moment. And then from this side of heaven, which we are on, this side of heaven, for the rest of our lives, learn more, live better, until finally that ultimate goal, one day we are in eternity, because after all, landing in eternity safely, that's the real point, right? That's what we're hoping. And so is that what it's all about? Well, Paul does a really good job, as he always does, because he was guided by God's Spirit when he wrote this. He does a really good job of explaining this process wonderfully. It's in his second letter to the church in Corinth, and here's what he writes. Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 17. If you happen to be on the app, all of that is in the notes section. You can look at that. The verses are all there, and a lot of these things that I'm talking about are in there already. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Here's what Paul writes. This means that anyone, I've got to pause right here. Anyone, that's a key word, anyone, yes, absolutely anyone, even someone like me, even someone as bad as me, even someone as bad as you, even someone like you, Al and I were talking about just a moment ago, there is no one that's in anyone that it is too late for. Anyone. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ. Now, these words specifically mean absolutely anyone. You mean anyone? I mean anyone. Anyone. If anyone, that is a grace-filled invitation. All anyone's out there have the opportunity to, by a faith commitment to Christ, anyone who wants to follow, here's what Paul says, who belongs to Christ, let me go to the beginning. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That's the new life I'm talking about. That's that new birth. And that's why we named this part of the series, Oh Baby, You're a New Creation. And I want to take it a step further to say you're not just a new creation. You, if you're submitting your life to Jesus, are a new species. I know this sounds weird, but you really are a new species. You are a human in which God's Spirit has come to live. That's a whole new creation. All right, that's exciting. There is a process to this newness, and Paul is going to describe it, and I want to give you a heads up. He's going to describe it as something that happened in the past, and he's going to describe it as something that's happening right now, and he's going to describe it as something that's going to happen in the future. So here's how he describes it. The next phrase is what he says. The old life is gone. Now that's a past event. For me, that was July 14th, 1983. That old life was gone. That's a past event. Whatever moment you have surrendered your life to the care and the control of Jesus, if you have not yet, then I'm hoping that is a future event, maybe even today for you. But if you have already done that, that is a past event. And now he moves us to the present of this new life, what's happening now, this birth, this creation, this new species, this man, this human, this woman with God's Spirit now inside. So he says, the old life is gone, a new life has begun. And because he used the word begun, that means it's still going on, right? It started and it's happening. It started in the past right there in that moment, and it's even happening today. It is in the process in your life right now, in the present. You are, if you've surrendered your life to the care and the control of Jesus, you are becoming this new person, this new creation. And there's a future element to this, and it will end in eternity when we will become. That's when the process is totally complete. It is finished. You are totally new. The process is done. God has transformed you and changed you completely. So right now in your life, if you have submitted your life to the care and the control of Jesus, then that happened in the past. And Paul says that old life is gone. And right now in the present, you are in the process of becoming this new creation, this new life. And part of that becoming is where we learn more and we live better. We learn more and we live better. Because that is now God's Spirit in you, this new creation that is at work inside of your life if we are in Christ. So has become, that's past. Are becoming, that's the present. And will become, so what has begun will continue until it is done. And all of that, even though I have a role to play, the hard work is done by God's Spirit. It's all the work of God's Spirit. So it is through Him, God's Spirit, that we are able to learn more and live better. And it only comes from God. And if we are to have it, it will only come from Him. And He goes on. We're on verse 18 now. He says, and all of this is a gift from God. In other words, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because He gave it to you. It's His gift. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself. There's a fancy word for that. We're going to use that a lot today. Him bringing us back to Himself. The word for that is reconciled. All right? So all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself, who reconciled us, brought us back to Himself through, the only way, through Christ. So He said it is a gift. He has to give it. If you're to get it, it's only because He's giving it. It is His work. It's His reconciling. All of it is His gift, and it is all through Christ. So let's think about this word reconciliation for just a minute. Reconciliation from what? Reconciliation, because a proper relationship was broken because of something I did. A proper relationship between me and God was broken because of something I did. And in order to unbreak that, to reconcile that, there was an intentional and an overt and a planned action on behalf of another. In other words, God said, I'm going to reconcile you. So it is His decision. It is overt. It is His decision. It is intentional. It is planned. And He's doing it on behalf of me because I can't unbreak what I've broken. So here's another way to look at it. It's an action designed to remove hostility between us. Something He did to remove the hostility I created between God and myself. And so, the relationship, because of Him, is restored. Because of this reconciliation, it's restored to its original design. That relationship will now be as it was before it was broken by me, as He intended it to be. He restores it to that point. So to reconcile things is to make them right, to set things right between us. Okay. So let's go back to verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself. That's reconciliation through Christ. And all I can say to that is this. Thank you, Father. that your love sent God the Son to reconcile us, not just me, but you as well, us to you. And I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing to remake me, continuing to create me new. Thank God. And as we read through what Paul has written, it kind of sounds like we have been given some marching orders by God. It already states that it will take the rest of our lives in order for this to happen. What he began, he's going to continue until, on that side of heaven, he completes everything. So if somehow we can check that box on this side of heaven and say, yes, God, I am in the process of you changing me and rearranging my priorities and my life. Yes, I'm in that process. We can say, in doing that, in living in that process of trying to learn more and live better, then I could say one day, I have lived the life that God expected me to live. If you have done that, could you not one day say that you have done what he required? You focused on what he asked you to focus upon. And we could go to sleep at night knowing that we are genuinely following Christ. We can check that box. We can mark it off the list. We have done what God wants, right? Wrong. Sorry. Because you can't stop there. If you stop there in that cycle of learning more and living better, you would be wrong. Learn more and live better. And looking forward to eternity is not it. You could spend your entire life living through God's Spirit and learning more and living better and still for your life, God's best for your life. Still miss God's plan for your life. You could still miss God's purpose for your life. In fact, you could spend every waking moment that you have allowing God's Spirit to continue what he began, making you new. And you could wake up at 4:30, not to go hunting, you could wake up at 4:30 to get into Scripture and begin studying and meditating and allowing God's Spirit to transform you. And you could study and learn through lunch. You could skip dinner and you could study midnight. And you could finally close your copy of Scriptures at midnight and you could sleep for a few hours and get up and do it all over again day after day after day after day, allowing God's Spirit to transform you. And you could do that week after week. And we should ask, is that all there is? Is that our focus? Because we could do all of that and focus upon that. But if you do, you will totally miss God's great purpose for your life. In fact, you will become so heavenly minded that you will be no earthly good. Because, and we go back to Paul, the next phrase he says, and is a very small, big word. We are to continue becoming this new creation and something else. Paul says, and God has given us. Now we need to figure out who the us is in verse 18. God has given us, that is all the community of believers, all who have been reconciled, every single new creation that God has made. Every single person who has submitted their life to the care and the control of Jesus, that's the us. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. This is a big something more for us to do. For all of us who have submitted our lives to the care and the control of Jesus, not just some of us who might be really good at it, not just some of us who are professionals, not just some of us who maybe have a special gift and maybe it just comes a little more natural for them to do that. No. Paul says us, all of us, God has given us this task. We are tasked with reconciling people to Him. Reconciling. So after what He did for us, we are to then go out with the task assigned to go out seeing others reconciled to Him too. In other words, what He did in me, He expects me, He tasked me with the responsibility of seeing that happen in others around me. And this task doesn't end on this side of heaven. It is our earthly purpose with a heavenly agenda. It's got a heavenly outcome. Why? Paul answers it. Verse 19. For God was in Christ reconciling. Now let's be very clear. It is God through Christ reconciling. It is His work, not mine. It is His part to do, not mine. I don't do the actual reconciling. That is His work. That is His part, not mine. So, for God was in Christ reconciling the world. Who? The world. The all-inclusive world. Not this one and that one, but we're going to skip over these. The world. That same world that Jesus died for, right? Our favorite verse, for God so loved who? The world. So for God was in Christ reconciling the world, this all-inclusive world, mankind, which includes you and me and everybody that's ever been created, reconciling the world to Himself. Again, His work, not my work. And what does that work do? And He says it here, no longer counting people's sins against them. That is all His work. I can't do that. I can't forgive their sins. I cannot count people's sins no longer against them. You can't do that. We are not responsible for that. So how do you get in on this? Well, it all starts here. You change ownership. You change ownership in your life. You see, at one point you belong to yourself. And in a sense, I could say not just to yourself, but you belong to the world. You belonged at one point to the evil one because of your sin, and I did because of my sin. But now you trade owners. I belonged to myself. I belonged to the world. I belonged to the evil one. And I trade owners and I become owned by Christ. And now Jesus is the boss of my life, of your life, if you have traded ownership. You now belong to Him. He no longer counts your sins against you. Why? Because you submitted your life to His payment. He made that payment in your place. And once that happens, He now gives you something that you are responsible for. And Paul goes on, and He gave us, that is, the community who has submitted their life to the care and the control of Jesus. We call it the church. We call it a gathering of believers, a local gathering of believers. We've been talking about this now for 3 months. He gave us, every single new creation of His, us, this wonderful message. And I want you to know, this wonderful message, it really is good news. It is not a message of hell and damnation. It is a message of freedom, that God came here himself and he made a path to himself, a path for you. That's the message, Paul says, of reconciliation. So it is good news. God reconciled us, made us right with God through Christ. Now, when we have good news, we excitedly tell it. When we have experienced good news, we can't wait to share it. We tell all the people around us, right? I have been for weeks now telling everybody, many people around me, about the best, potentially the best biscuits and gravy in Arkansas. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to mispronounce this. My wife is I don't think she would ever say it loud enough to correct me. Croissanteria, something like that. It's a made-up word. But the biscuits and gravy, oh my goodness. You need to go down to Bougie Cantrell, take a left, and go to the Croissanteria, or Croissanterie, whatever it's called. The biscuits and gravy are on point. There's another place you need to go while you're at it. Perhaps on another day. You need to go to Smash and Stacked. Anybody? Yeah. Smash and Stack. That's a food truck in old part of Little Rock. Oh my goodness. I could go on and on. Why do I talk about that? Because it's so exciting to me, because it's so good. And I want you to have that good news, good calories. That's what we for me, good news is good calories, right? We go on and on. We talk about the things that I'm just gonna be honest. We talk about the things that are important to us. How often have we been guilty of talking about every softball game, every baseball game, every volleyball game in other parts of the state, every band event, every homecoming, What are we talking about? And it's okay because it is exciting, but we talk about it all the way from traveling teams all the way into college, and a few of you into the professional sports. We talk about it because we're excited about it. But for some reason, we'll talk about biscuits and gravy and burgers, but we won't talk about Jesus Christ. So, Paul says, we, in verse 20, who's we? The community of believers, every new creation, we, he says, are Christ's ambassadors. God has trusted us, not because he had to, not because he had no other choice, but he has trusted us with this good news. God has trusted us with this message, his message, for others. And we have it. And the question is, what are we doing with it? He has trusted us with something. We are not like ambassadors. We are ambassadors. Let me describe to you briefly the world that Jesus lived in the first century and that Paul was writing this letter in the first century. They were under the control of the empire. The Roman Empire was made up of two different kinds of provinces of ruled areas. One was a senatorial province. Now, a senatorial province was a city or a country that was conquered by Rome, and they were peaceful. They were not at war. They surrendered and they submitted to the leadership and the authority of Rome. But there was another kind. The other kind was called an imperial province. Now, an imperial province was not peaceful. And if they had an opportunity, they would rebel against Rome. It was a dangerous situation because they would rebel against Rome if they could. And so it was necessary for Rome to handle them differently. This imperial province was rebellious. And so Rome would send ambassadors to the imperial provinces in order to make sure that rebellion didn't break out. And this was Paul communicating that since Christ followers in the world are ambassadors of Christ, this is what it means, that the world around us is in rebellion against God right now. In other words, Paul is saying that the world is an imperial province of God's. As far as God is concerned, they are rebelling against God. And so God has sent his ambassadors, you and me, if you're following Jesus, into the world. Now, this is so important. He did not send you into the world to declare war. He sent you to declare peace. This is the message of the ambassador to God. Christ has sent out. Here's the message. Be reconciled to God. We represent Jesus Christ. And God has trusted you and me. If you have submitted your life to his care and control, he's trusted you with that very message. And there are three guiding principles to the delivery of that message. Here they are: love, loving with love. That's how you deliver the message. And if you deliver the message, be reconciled to God with love, loving with love, then if someone rejects that message, it is Christ they are rejecting. It is not you. We are merely his ambassador. What a great privilege that he has given us to be heaven's ambassadors to this rebellious world. And what a great responsibility. But yet, we get embarrassed to say anything. Somehow, the evil one convinces us to be embarrassed to share this good news, this amazing thing that God has done for us, for the entire world, and we get embarrassing. I want you to know it's not embarrassing. It's a privilege because we are representing, we are an ambassador of the King of Kings. There was nothing to be embarrassed about as Paul is writing this, and there still is nothing to be embarrassed world because God has not declared war on the world. It was at the cross that God declared peace to the world. But I want you to know, one day he will declare war. And at that moment in the future, whenever that happens, whether it's tonight, today, tomorrow, next week, next year, next millennia, whenever that happens, it will be at that moment too late for those who have rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And I want you to know that the evil one is looking and seeking to tear everything apart in this world. But Christ and his church, which is made up of all of his new creations, are involved in this ministry, in this message of reconciliation, of bringing things back together under the submission to, under submission to God, bringing the world back to God. Being an ambassador is not easy. A theologian I follow, Warren Wiersbe, he said this: if we are to succeed, we must be motivated by the fear of the Lord, the love of Christ, and the commission he has given to us. What a privilege. Verse 20. So we, this community of believers, every new creation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. In other words, this is God's plan. It's his message and it's his plan. He has not planned another way to get this message to the world. Jesus is not coming back to die again, to gather disciples. It's not happening. This is his plan to get his message to the world. He has not planned another way. You are his plan. God is, Paul says, is making his appeal through us. He then says, we speak for Christ. What a privilege. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are his ambassadors. And this is our message. Friends, family, everybody I meet in this life, come back to God. And Paul goes on, verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And if we miss this, we have missed his purpose for us on this earth. Have you ever thought about it? The moment you became, why on July the 14th, 1983, did God not immediately extract me from this earth and take me directly to heaven? If that's the goal, why did he not do that right then? Because then it would save a lot of headache and a whole lot of failure on my part. And he could immediately transform me the moment I submit into the person he created me to be. Why leave me? Why leave you? Because you are plan A. Do you know what Paul was? Plan A. Do you know what Matthew was and Peter? Plan A. Do you know what the guy that betrayed Jesus, Judas, do you know what Judas was? He would have been plan A. If you choose to submit your life, you are the plan. And it's not a backup plan, it's the plan. You are the plan. And if we miss what Paul is speaking about here through the inspiration of God's Spirit, then we miss our entire purpose on this earth. Yes, yes, we are to submit our lives to His care and His control. That's where it starts. And yes, we are to become a new creation. He starts it in that moment. And yes, we are becoming still a new creation. That's still happening. The things I listed earlier, I'm still blowing it and I'm still messing it up. I'm failing and I'm asking forgiveness and I'm still in that process of becoming new. And yes, He will continue making me and you if you submitted. He will continue that process on this side of heaven. Every day that you wake up, it continues until that moment that you step into heaven. And yes, that is part of the plan, but it can't stop there. Because if we do stop the plan right there, if we do, we miss His purpose for our lives right now here on this earth, which is why you've been left. You are plan A. We are His ambassadors. Let me read through this one more time, starting at verse 20. So we, that's the community of all these new believers, new creations. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of for our sin so that we could be made right in with God through Christ. And I will have you know, this task that you've been given, I want you to know the truth is this. It takes no training. It requires nothing more. You don't have to go to seminary. I did. You don't have to. In fact, you don't need, it requires none of that to accomplish this. All we have to do is live in this life as a new creation, someone who is becoming this new creation, and share what God is doing in our lives. And what is your message, you ask? It is so easy. Here's the message. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And this is how our three-month meta-series ends today. This story of God and story of us, where we began with the bride, where God said, I'm choosing for my son to have a bride. That's where we began. And that bride is the church. And that's where God's affection overwhelms everyone who has submitted their life to the care and the control of Jesus. And then we said, not only did God decide to have a bride for His son, but God the Father decided that He was going to have a house. Specifically, you. If you have ever submitted your life to the care and the control of Jesus, God's Spirit has moved into your life and He places you with other lives together locally in a body called the church. And He builds His church. And that is where God lives in these lives. It is God's dream home. And if you have submitted your life to the care and the control of Jesus, then God has made you a new creation inside of heaven. And oh, baby, it's you. And God continues on this side of heaven to make you new and make you new and make you new. And God has given you the one He has reconciled with Himself through Christ. He has given you the task of being an ambassador. This is His message delivery system. And it is His plan A. It is not plan B. You are His plan. You are to live as His new creation and deliver His message. Live as a new creation and share with the people around you what God is doing in your life. And after you do that, do you know what your message is? Friend, family, person I'm getting to know, come back to God just like I did. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And in case you didn't know, it starts right now. If you have submitted your life to His care and control, it starts right now, and it will not stop. This job, this task, this keep wake will not stop. As long as you keep waking up here on this earth. So, ambassador, how are you doing? How are you living as this new creation? And how are you delivering this message that He has given you? And our final question, what are you going to change starting right now? And I simply ask, don't turn back. How could you? Why would you turn back? See, this is really what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to forgive me for being content with my salvation. God, forgive me for just waiting on you to just save other people without me having to do anything, without me having to say anything. And God, forgive me for making this oh so complicated, for just making it hard. Forgive me for all those moments that I have chosen to not live a changed life. Forgive me for thinking that I have. Forgive me for thinking I have other more important things to take care of, more important things to talk about. Forgive me for seeing people who are not yet surrendered to you, seeing them as an enemy. Forgive me, God. May my life forever be changed into your loving, kind, persistent ambassador. And I ask you to make it so. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.